All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And I want to thank you so much for the prophet's chamber over there. It is one of the nicest. It is so comfortable. And we just enjoy it very much. And then last night we were given a basket about this big and, you know, about that wide too, and maybe about that tall. But you can't believe what was in that basket. In fact, I wrote some of the things down. By the way, who fixed that basket? Where is Miss Jenny? Thank you so much. She probably doesn't want any attention, but not only food was in there, good food, some fruit, some snacks, and all kinds of candy and just wonderful things like that, jerky, trail mix. But also in that basket, we have ink pens, we have notepads, we've got body wash, his and hers, we've got gum, we've got Tic Tacs, we've got chapstick, we've got hand cream, and handy wipes, and there was a shotgun in there. No, I'm kidding. All that, and I'm sure there's something I left out. But I just want to thank you so much. A lot of thought went into that, and I'm sure the church paid for all that, but I can't imagine how all that was packed into one basket. But thank you very much. Well, if you don't mind, I've got my phone on vibrate just in case my wife had an emergency or something. And so if you hear something going off, I will answer. I remember seeing Brother Lonnie Mattingly preach at a sword conference, I think, and his daughter was having surgery. And in the midst of his message, his phone rang. And right there at a sword conference, he answered his phone to see how his daughter was. And you know what I said? Thank God. Thank God for a man that not trying to put on airs and trying to be something he's not, just being a good dad. And I want to preach a message tonight. And the name of this message is, The Lord Will Be Back Before Monday. Now that's not a prediction. I got to say that quick. Because if I'm up here making a prediction, then you got every right in the world to just get up and walk out that door. Because the Lord said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Nobody knows. This is on right, so I just push that down a little. No man knows when. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And yet he recorded in his word over in Hebrews that we can see the day approaching. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as we see the day approaching. That's not a prediction. The Lord will be back before Monday. That's tomorrow. But that was a statement that was made by a 12-year-old girl. And I'll tell you about that later. The coming of the Lord was so real to her. And I'll tell you about it in a little bit. But let me ask you this. What if you knew that the Lord was coming back today, tonight, before Monday? What would you do? What would you do? How would you act? What would you do at altar time tonight? What would you do concerning witnessing? If you knew the Lord was coming back, even a week from Monday, if you knew you had a week and you knew the Lord was coming back, how would you live? Are there some things, would you watch what you normally watch? Would you listen to what you normally listen to? Now, I know none of you listen to rock music. I know that, surely. But some of you might listen to country music. And I want you to know, country music is of the devil. I bet there's some people, they'll stand up for their country music and try to justify it. But my friend, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll make you love the world. It'll give you a taste for the world. And the Bible still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But what would you do? How would your conversations be? How would you act at work? How would you witness? How would you do with tracts? If you knew the Lord was coming in a week, I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians, do you normally stand, Brother Jerry? Would you stand with me? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for this King James Bible. Thank you, dear God, for this good number out here on a Sunday night. Thank you for those who want to hear the word of God. They want to hear preaching. They want somebody to get up and tell it like it is. And Lord, that's what I'm here to do tonight. I'm here to tell it like it is, Lord, that you are coming. And it could be tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you would stir us up. And Lord, that we might leave here tonight with more anticipation, more of a desire to see you. And when we see you, not be ashamed at your coming, but that you could look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh God, help me preach now and help these dear people to listen on purpose and give them ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Notice that he said, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That song Brother Kenny wrote, when he comes, he'll not be alone. He'll bring loved ones who've already gone. You know, the Bible talks about those who are asleep. And there are those who have taken that and made a doctrine out of it that when Christians die, they sleep in the grave. That the body and the soul go into the grave. My friend, that's absolutely untrue. That's false doctrine. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then the Bible talks about the graves being opened up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them. They'll rise first, but we'll catch up with them. They're in the rapture. Curtis Hudson said he had a pastor one time didn't believe in the rapture. Back before he knew what he knew, he said, I believed it, but he didn't. And he said, in the resurrection, he said, I know he's saved, but he just got confused. He said, in the rapture, he said, we're going to be going up. I'm going to turn over and say, what about them apples? My friend, he's coming. And our loved ones are coming. And they'll pick up those bodies. And they'll come out of the graves. What a day that will be. And the Bible says, then, when this happens, will be brought to pass that saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, my friend, I heard a man say at a funeral the other day, and I kind of agree with him. You know, and you may do it here, I don't know, but, you know, we talk about a funeral being a celebration of life, and I can see all that. But I heard this old-fashioned preacher say, he said, I'm not really, at preaching a funeral, he said, I'm not really celebrating today, I'm remembering, but he said, I'm not really celebrating because he said, I'm on the wrong side. He said, I'm not there yet. When death is swallowed up in victory, then we'll say, oh, death, where is that sting? There's a sting now. There's a sting. And we don't see the victory now, but they do. Thank God when they pass out of this life and go to be with the Lord and open up their eyes in glory. Oh, if you could see what I see, if you could hear what I hear. And I wish my wife could have sang that for you tonight. We'd have loved to have done that. Maybe next time. But I like that word changed. It says the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Praise God. I've been changed already. July the 19th, 1969, when I was 15 years old, I got changed. I got born again on a Saturday night in an old-fashioned revival meeting. I became a new creature. I passed from death unto life. I did, and I didn't know there's a verse in the Bible that says we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. I had no idea that verse was in the Bible. The night I got saved, though I'd been in church a lot, I didn't know Bible verses. I didn't know that. But I experienced it the night the Lord saved me. I passed from death unto life, and I had a joy that I did not have before. I had a relief. I felt like I had a backpack with a couple of concrete blocks in it, carrying that around, even as a 15 and a half year old teenager, under the burden of sin, knowing I needed to be saved, but I didn't want to be saved because I saw people get saved and they changed. And I wasn't ready to change. But thank God, I went to a ballpark and God sent a man to that ballpark. God was on my trail. And that man came to the ballpark, witnessed to me and my best friend. We got under deep conviction. He made no attempt to lead us to the Lord. He just delivered the message. He was gone, but the conversation wasn't over. The Spirit of God was dealing with me strong. I went to church that night, Saturday night, sat on the back row, sat way back on the back row. You can see the unsaved people back there tonight on the back row. Just kidding now, don't get mad at me. I know they're really courteous people. They want others to have the right to sit up closer here. But I sat on the back row, so much under conviction. I thought, I'm going to hell. And I know I'm going to hell. And I deserve to go to hell. Or Jesus is coming back. I knew it. I knew he was coming. My pastor, the man that preached, he wasn't my pastor yet. I hadn't joined the church, but he preached on it all the time, and I'll tell you more about that later. But I knew the Lord was coming back, and I thought, if that trumpet sounds and I'm sitting back here, they're all going to rise. And I'll be sitting back here on this back row, and I'll go through the tribulation period. I knew all about that. I mean, I was back there sweating bullets. Now you say, well, why didn't you just get saved before that? I didn't know anything. I was 15 and a half years old. The only people I ever saw get saved, they went to the altar, they got down on their knees, they prayed, the Lord saved them, and they got up rejoicing. I thought that's the way it's got to be done. I didn't know the Lord would have saved me at the ballpark, or he would have saved me at my home, but anyway, that's what I knew, and the Lord knew what I knew. And I was sitting back there under conviction. Finally, they gave the invitation, and I shot down that aisle. My best friend, I don't know how many, got saved on that night, many, and I got saved that night, and I stood there with red eyes from weeping, and I stood there beside the altar, people coming around, shaking my hand, hugging my neck, and I loved everybody in that building. My friend, when I walked in that night, there were people there I did not love. There were people there I did not like. And that night, I loved everybody in that building. I got the old-time religion, makes me love everybody. And I passed from death unto life, and I had a love for the brethren. And I changed that night. That night, I went home. I could not wait to get back to church. I couldn't wait. I mean, this was my new family. I was part of the family now. I was born again. You don't join that family, my friend. You got to be born into that family. Amen. And I was born again. That night the Lord saved my soul. And I was changed. And I praise God for that. But the Bible says here there's going to be another great change coming. And in Philippians 3:21 it says he will change our vile body. And it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. There's a big change coming, my friend. We're heading for a place where there be no more medicine. There'll be no more health problems. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more strokes. There'll be no more diabetes. There'll be no more of that. No more Parkinson's. It'll all be over, but the shouting someday when we get home. No more hospitals.
Amen.
No more wheelchairs. No more crutches. Praise God for all that. No more funeral homes. No more graveyards. No more undertakers. You say, well, you don't think undertakers will be in heaven? Yeah, but they'll all be unemployed. Amen. No more doctors, thank God. No more waiting rooms. No more needles. I'm happy about that. I don't like needles. No more, not even eyeglasses. No more hearing aids. I mean, we'll have perfect bodies. We'll be like Him. There's going to be a great change. We'll even have glorified minds. Amen. Glorified minds. Amen. Listen, the old sin nature's gone. The devil's gone. The world's gone. And we've got glorified minds. That song says, I won't have to fight the battles that keep raging in my mind. And they do sometimes. But thank God that'll all be over one of these days. We'll even have glorified personalities. I believe that we'll be like Him.
Amen.
Some people might be a little hard to get along with down here. They might be. But oh, when we get there, somebody even wrote this poem. They said, you know, to dwell above with saints in love, that will be glory. But to dwell below with some saints I know, that's another story. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. You say, where is 1 John? Right before 2 John. Back, just find Revelation and go backward. 1 John chapter number 3. And verse number 2. If you're looking at that verse, say amen.
Amen.
If you haven't found it, say wait. Okay. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man, verse number 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Praise God. Looking for Jesus every moment has a purifying effect. In fact, the great preacher Hugh Pyle, gone on to heaven now, said the personal return of Jesus Christ for His own is perhaps the most commanding incentive of all to holy living and dedicated service. The personal return of Christ, the greatest incentive to realize He could appear at any moment. He could interrupt this service and take us out of here and we would stand in His presence. My friend, He is coming. He is coming. John 14, 3, Jesus said as plain as He could say it, I will come again. I will come again. But you know, some have tried to spiritualize that. Some have tried to say, well, yeah, he's coming, you know, in spirit, or He's coming at the point of death and He'll come and usher you into heaven, you know. That's what it means. No, that's not what it means. He's coming in a body. He's coming back just like He went away. And in the book of Acts, just for those that may think, you know, that it's not talking about He's coming back in person. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples watched Him go up. And they stood there with their mouths wide open, watching Him go up. And the next thing you know, there are two men standing beside them, angels. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? Here's what they said. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Just like He went up, He's coming down. First time, He's not coming all the way to the earth. He'll come in the air. We'll rise to meet Him. Amen. Saints of every nation will lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away. We're going to defy the law of gravity and go and be with our Lord. A flight without an airplane. Amen. And we'll rise and be with the Lord. You know, somebody who made a study of it said 1 in 20 verses in the New Testament say he's coming. The last promise in the Bible in Revelation, the last promise, surely I come quickly. The last prayer, even so come, Lord Jesus. We can see the day approaching. Look at us now. Look at us where we are right now. The one world government is right on us. It's right on us. It's knocking at the door. Now, it's been coming for a long time, but right here it is. Think about this. The UN wants to make rules for the way we raise our children in America. They want to do that. The WHO, they want to control our health care. Think about digital currency. It's right here. I don't want it. You don't want it, but I'm afraid it's coming. Digital currency. Think about chips in the hand. You know, the mark in the forehead or in the hand. It's already here. It's all in some places. They can put their hand under something and pay for their merchandise. It's already here. What about this? All nations against Israel. When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that it is near. And brother, everybody's turning against Israel right now. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Lot. Now I know much of that meaning is that life was just going on in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot. People were just living their lives, not expecting anything to happen. And it did happen. The flood came. The fire came. But I think also when you think about the days of Noah, I can't help but think about violence. Violence. The violence that is all over our world today, and it's taken over America. Murders are everywhere. Crime is everywhere. It's even moving into the smaller cities. I thank God for our little town, Wayland, Iowa. Wayland, Iowa, still playing Christmas songs over the speaker in the town in Main Street. And people just, you know, like it was in the old days. But I guarantee you, there's crime in that little place. There's crime in our town of Washington where we live, and violence. And it's all over the place. It's terrible what's happening today. As it was in the days of Lot, they had become overrun with sodomy, homosexuality. And my friend, we've got to preach it. We've got to preach it. Even when they pass the law that we'll go to jail if we preach it, we've got to warn people that God says it's an abomination. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. But my friend, don't hate the homosexual. Hate the sin. Preach against the sin. But my friend, they can be saved. And they need to be saved. They're trapped in a horrible satanic lifestyle. But they can be delivered. Paul told about it and said, such were some of you. And God delivered them. Hate the sin, but don't hate the sinner. Don't get mad at them. My friend, they're blind. They need Jesus to open their eyes. But oh, they were not just homosexuals. They were militant. They were on the march. They were demanding. And it's right here today. It's right here today. Brother, we're closer than we've ever been before. That's for sure. And it could be tonight. But could this be the greatest sign of his coming? After all those, but could this be the greatest sign right here? Jesus said, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, it seems to me we have less preaching on the second coming and less expectancy than we had years ago. We used to hear it more. In my opinion. And I was just wondering, has the devil found a way to keep our minds off of the second coming? Has he found a way to get us so preoccupied with this life that we forgot he's coming at any moment? 53 years ago, one of the most popular songs, Redemption Draweth Nigh, Signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eye upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Everybody was singing that song. 50 years ago, Jesus is coming soon was the big song. It was number one. I mean, everybody sang, Jesus is coming soon. 50 years ago, my pastor, Brother Garrett, down in Cannleton, not that far from here, Benita's dad, preached on the second coming so much that everybody in the church, we just kept our eyes on the eastern skies. I mean, we thought he's coming at any moment. Brother Garrett, he tried to memorize the book of Revelation. Well, guess what the result of that was? He preached out of Revelation all the time. And he tried to memorize it. He was a remarkable man. My wife's daddy came out of the mountains of Tennessee, fifth grade education. That's as far as he could go because it was depression days. And his dad had a big family, 13 kids, and worked in the log woods. And he quit school so he could go and help his dad in the log woods. Did not get a formal education, but my friend, he had an education. He knew the book, brother. He knew the one book that we need to know more than any other. And he preached that the Lord's coming back. And my wife, as a 12-year-old girl, her mom took her to get some school clothes. And she said, I remember coming home on a Friday and hanging up the school clothes. And I sat there. She said, I really liked the two shirts that I had there. I liked the color. But she said, I thought, I won't get to wear them. The Lord will be back before Monday. That was on a Friday. That's a 12-year-old girl thinking the Lord's coming. Is that real? He'll be back before Monday. You know, I kind of think that's the way we ought to think, really. Be looking for him at any time. What has happened? Is it social media that has got us so preoccupied and so tied up in all the affairs of this life? Is that what it is? Is it talk radio that's got us to this place where all we hear today is save America with conservatism? We've got to, conservatism is the answer. Brother, I'm a conservative, I'll tell you that. If you ask me after church, I'll tell you who I'll vote for. He just won a big debate, but I'll wait till after church to tell you. But conservatism, that's it. We got to elect these politicians, and that's all you hear on talk radio. Nobody talks about Jesus on there. Nobody mentions the second coming. It's all save this country, save our way of life, and I'm all for that. I will vote. I might even put up a sign. But brother, our hope, the blessed hope, is Jesus is coming back. The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. He's coming back, my friend. Here's what another statement by Hugh Pyle. Have we gotten so concerned about what this world is coming to that we've forgotten who's coming to this world? Let me ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm looking into God-given eyeballs tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible says one shall be taken and the other left. A preacher preached that one time in Texas. And a mother was there many years ago. He preached, one shall be taken and the other left. And a mother was there with her children and a little 4-year-old boy. But he was a sharp one. He was about as sharp as these guys down here. Boy, they are sharp. Putting together that Christmas tree, that impressed me. I can't put together a Christmas tree. I wouldn't know where to start. You guys got it done. But this little 4-year-old boy was sharp. And he was sitting there listening to that preacher. Now his mother was there. His brothers and sisters were there. His daddy was not there. His daddy wasn't saved. His daddy didn't go to church. So they went home that day and sat down at the dinner table. And there they all were, dad included. And this little boy looks at his mother and says, Mommy, when Jesus comes, will we have to leave Daddy? Will we have to leave Daddy? He put his fork down, put his knife down, said, what are they teaching down there at that church? What are they teaching these kids? If that's what they're teaching, they're not going back. Well, that was on Sunday afternoon. He was a traveling salesman. But before he went to bed that night, he was in one room. The little four-year-old boy was in another room. And that little boy said to his mother again while he was putting on his pajamas, Mommy, will we have to leave Daddy? When Jesus comes, will Daddy be left behind? He was in another room. He heard that. And it made him mad. You know, when you're soul winning, when you're witnessing, don't get upset if somebody gets mad. Sometimes people have to get mad before they think. Don't get upset. Don't make them mad on purpose, but brother, if the gospel makes them mad, if concern for their soul makes them mad, don't worry about it. God may be working on them. Amen. He was working on that daddy, and the next morning he got up early. He headed out to a faraway town to do his sales, and he got his briefcase, his suitcase, and he went out, and that day he couldn't do anything. He couldn't accomplish anything. He said, this is a bad day. And he said, I'm just going to get an early supper, go to bed, and start fresh in the morning. But he went to bed, and he couldn't go to sleep. All he thought about was, Mommy, will Daddy be left behind? Mommy, will we have to leave Daddy? And he tossed and turned all night, got up early, early in the morning, and headed back for his hometown. And you know where he went? He went straight to the church. And he walked in the church. By this time, it was 10 or 11 in the morning. And he walked into the church, and the pastor was there. And he said, Pastor, I think I'm losing my mind. And the pastor said, Praise God. He said, What do you mean? He said, We've been praying for you. And he sat him down, and he said, My friend, you don't have to worry about Jesus coming back. He's already been here once. And when he came that first time, he died for you. He paid for your sins. He hung on that cross for you. He poured out his blood for you. And all you've got to do is open your heart and accept him and trust him as your Savior. And my friend, then you can go up with your family. And that man did. That man got saved right there. And praise God, Sunday came around and it's time for a baptism. And that man came down. He's a big man. Came down the steps in his baptismal robe. And as he got ready to be baptized, they heard a rustling. And that little four-year-old boy was down off the pew and he was heading down the aisle. And he walked up there, he went up the steps, and a deacon started to stop him. The pastor said, Let him come. And he got up there right by the baptistry and he stood there on his tiptoes looking at his dad. And he saw his daddy get baptized. And they said that boy did a little jig. And said, Thank God we won't have to leave Daddy. Daddy's going with us. And praise God. One shall be taken and the other left. You know, I preached this a couple of weeks ago at Brother Reiser's. And that night, three children got saved. Amen. Three children went to their parents and said, I need to be saved. Amen. You know, there might be somebody here tonight. And you're not ready. You know about it. You may be in church all the time, but going to church won't save you. Going to church won't take you to heaven. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure, you talk. If you're a child, you talk to mom and dad or talk to your pastor. Get that settled. Don't be left behind. Are you ready? Listen, you can be saved and still not ready. It doesn't mean that you'll be left behind if you're saved. If you're a born-again child of God, you're going. Amen. It's going to be a rapture, not a rupture. Amen. If you're saved, you will go. But the Bible says, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Some will be ashamed. Jesus won't be able to say well done to everybody. Some will be ashamed because you got something in your life and you know he's dealing with you about it, but you won't let go. Maybe there's something that God wants you to do, and you're not willing to do it, and you won't say, I surrender, Lord, I'll do it. I want your will above all things, my friend. If that's the case, if you're resisting the will of God, you're not ready. You're not ready. I mean, we're here on this earth for one thing, to do the will of God. Amen. If you're not in God's will, right in the middle of God's will, you're not right. If you got something in your life, this is the day of secret sins. And there's more opportunity to have secret sins than there's ever been. I remember, I'm so old, I can remember that pornography, the only place that they had pornography was at the drugstore. Not that I went in there and bought it, but I knew about it. And a man had to risk being seen to go down in public and buy a magazine, a satanic magazine, and take it back to his home. He had to give out that risk, you know, risk being found out. No more. No more. Now, pornography comes right to the phone. Pornography will come right to your bedroom. It comes right to where you are. The push of a button. And it's amazing. The statistics I've heard, how many Christian men have actually admitted that they look at pornography. And brother, if that's you today, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. You've got a big problem in your life. You better get it right. I like Brother Brown used to say many times, he said, you better come to God before God has to come to you.
Right.
Amen. God gives us space to repent. And brother, if you don't come in that space to repent, he'll come to you. And sometimes you'll wish he hadn't. He knows how to deal with his children. My dad knew how to deal with me. My mom knew how to deal with me. She'd get out a yardstick. And the only good thing about it was after a few licks, it broke. And then I was in a home one time and I looked and I saw a metal yardstick. Chills went down my spine. I praise God my mom didn't have that. But my friend, I'll tell you, the Lord knows how to chastise his children. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to make us willing. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm asking this. If Jesus may come today, why are we not serving him with all of our might, with everything we've got? If he may come today, why are we not giving it all we've got? My friend, the devil is. The world is. They're giving it all they've got. And if the Lord may come today, why are we not abounding in the work of the Lord? And I know many of you are, and I thank God for that. But are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Father, I pray that you'd take this simple message and use it, Lord. Lord, you're coming. You could come tonight. A trumpet could sound tonight. And we'd be out of here, Lord. We'd rise to meet you. But Lord, there are some in this room tonight not ready to meet you. They're not ready to stand before you and hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And there may be some in this room tonight, they're not ready because they have not been saved. They've not been born again. I don't know that, Lord. I hope everybody in here is born again and they know it. But Lord, I realize this. Sometimes we just don't know. And I know the devil is a master of deceit. The devil is a mastermind at deceiving people. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight and they've not been born again, they haven't passed from death unto life. They have not become a new creature. They're not born of the Spirit with life from above. I pray this would be the night, Lord. Lord, may it be a getting right with God night for anybody who's not right with God. Lord, it may just be a rejoicing night for many of these saints because they are ready and they are clean and they are going to be able to stand before you and hear you say, well done. And see a smile on your face. And maybe they just ought to rejoice tonight and say, praise God, he's coming and I'm ready. But Lord, during this invitation time, would you deal with hearts and help those who are not ready, in Jesus' name, amen.